Almost Rob Mark.
I'm going to change my name.
We do miss Rob. That is absolutely true. It is Amy Labota, but subbing for Rob is Jeb Burnside, who is the editor-in-chief of Aviation Safety Magazine. Jeb, can't thank you enough for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Can't thank you enough, truly. And Todd Willinger, who is the CEO of Redbird Flight Simulations in Austin, Texas.
That's right.
One of the cooler places in the world. Not cool like temperature-wise right now. Cool like cool.
Yeah, no, this is refreshing. This almost feels like winter, to be honest.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It does.
Welcome to Attitude Adjustment and EAA Radio. You know, you guys have ramped up such a presence here right in the center of the air show, all because of the Pilot Proficiency Center. That's all your equipment in there. That's really cool stuff you guys are doing.
Yeah, no, it's a great program. You know, and there's so many volunteers involved with this, from SAFE and NAFI. But, you know, this was kind of the brainchild of Jack and Joe Brown and, you know, Jerry Gregoire, our chairman. And we really like to be involved in that program. I think it does a great service. I think people learn a lot of stuff there. And that's, you know, obviously one of the points of what EAA has always been about. And so, you know, if somebody wants to go grab a few wing points and learn a little, you know, something new about, you know, flying and safety, it's a great, great program. You know, I think we have 14 flight training devices and a crosswind trainer over in there. They'll run probably 1,500 to 2,000 pilots through that program during the week, and a lot of seminars as well. And I shouldn't leave out Jeppesen. Jeppesen has been a big presence, and a lot of the seminar and information comes out of there, goes through those guys. So I hate to leave. I'm remiss in leaving out Mark Van Tine and the input that he had in the development.
I saw him yesterday.
Yeah,
there.
No, I've seen Mark a couple of places around here and talked with him. He's doing well, but no, it's a great, great program.
This is not the first year you've done this either. How many years have this been going?
You know, this is the third year of really the proficiency program as it is. You know, this kind of started out as something we worked with SAFE at on a much smaller scale. But again, then Jack and Joe saw it and they said, look, we can take something like this on a much, much larger scale. And they have. And so, you know, there's 32 or 33 different training scenarios that have been developed for this. You know, so whether you're like backcountry flying and you want to do some high, hot and heavy takeoffs from a grass strip in Idaho.
Which I've done.
Yeah, right, right.
And did not succeed the first time. I did the second, I might add. Good flight instruction helped me through.
If you don't succeed the first time, try it again.
Right.
It's always better to do that on a simulator,
by the way.
On a
simulator, yes.
Right. Or, you know, all the way down if you want to do some very challenging instrument approaches in some fairly nasty weather. I mean, so it kind of runs the gamut of the type of flying that you do.
Well, and one of the things people don't understand, those are real flight instructors, and they're getting almost an hour of flight instruction in there.
Exactly.
When they go in there.
Yeah, you know, depending on the scenario and number of scenarios that you're flying, you're absolutely right. But again, it's the type of training that really you essentially can only do with flight training devices in some cases. There are things that you're not going to practice when you're in an airplane, right?
Like landing on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe one or two people around here would try that, but you know, it's those sorts of things and putting people in situations that they normally wouldn't be. And that's kind of the value of the simulation. So allowing all of these people, you know, the number of people that have to go through and experience some of those things is a really great, great program.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't want to sign up for it, what I noticed is you put the Redbird tent right next to it.
Yeah, it's not there by accident. So, yeah, and actually they can come over. We would offer, you know, for somebody who's thinking about flying, right, wants to learn how to fly. We actually have a couple of devices here this week where we introduced our new private pilot training software. It's called Gift, which actually, if you think of it in this regard, it's a, let's call it an instructor-like led program. Like having that instructor in the right seat. So as you are flying a flight maneuver, that would be part of the ACS. It is actually helping guide you through that and then watching your performance and providing you real-time feedback as to, you know, enhancements to what you're doing. So if you're practicing learning how to land, if you get a little low on the glide slope, it'll actually tell you what to do to correct that, either to add power or to pitch up or, you know, so it's actually like having an instructor in there with you. So if there are people out there that are thinking about flying, stop by and we'd be glad to run you through a couple of training scenarios.
Simulator technology, flight training device technology has changed so much over the years. What's next?
Well, that's a great question because we are doing things now that I wouldn't have expected doing, right? We've, you know, if you're ever in Cleveland, stop by Case Western University and you can, maybe they would allow you to go through their medical emergency nursing simulator, right? It is a device that we built for them. It's the only device we've ever built where nobody flies it, right? But it's for emergency medicine training. So using our motion technology, they run a patient, and it's a simulated patient into there. They run through different scenarios of weather or, you know, decision making sort of stuff. So, you know, even the simulated patient is a simulator that somebody developed, right? So you know, it'll be interesting when you take a look at the aviation aspects. What's going to happen with some of the UAV type of devices? Is there a place to simulate or training using simulated UAVs? I don't know. I know one thing. The technology will always outpace the regulators.
Okay. Welcome
so it's,
to aviation.
It's challenging.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's
yeah.
challenging to get them to give you credit for the veracity of the simulations that you're creating now. I mean,
that's true, but also keep in mind that, and I understand from a financial perspective why the logging of the time is highly beneficial to people. But let's also keep in mind the way that we learned how to fly is occurred in the worst classroom in the pilot.
Exactly.
You know, the education environment, the education industry has spent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on what the optimal learning environment is. Now, if you ever took one of those people and put them in an airplane,
they'd be horrified.
They would run screaming away, said, there's no way you could learn in this environment. So putting people in an environment, well, first off, that is safer. One, that there's exponentially fewer distractions going on. I don't know, when I was at 5,000 feet, my instructor never had a pause button to say, oh, no, here's what you need to be doing. You know, you're okay, but let's work on this. Doesn't happen, right? And so it's in our perspective, and one of the reasons why we got in this business, we just think it's an exponentially better classroom. It's a exponentially better learning environment for people. And frankly, training things that, you know, you really can't do in the actual aircraft.
None of these products existed when I was getting my private.
Right.
We had a link trainer, believe it or not. There was an old link trainer because Page Field had been a military field.
Yeah.
And so you could, but mostly what that would do is make you really hot, really sick.
Yeah.
And it wasn't uncommon for somebody to lose it in there, so it had kind of odor.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good place to be. It was literally a box, and no one wanted to be in the box. And so that made it very difficult as these lighter tabletop and slightly bigger sims came into being, and we were, as at that point in the 80s, I was a flight instructor trying to get people to go into the box with me to do training.
Well, even
was
then,
such a challenge.
Even then, a lot of that training was instrument flight oriented.
A lot of it was because we didn't have visuals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for a lot of student pilots, just nailing the procedures.
Yeah.
Just, all right, I'm on downwind. What do I do next? Those kinds of procedures are difficult, to practice in the airplane, and if we just had some device that we could use on the ground.
Yeah, and it's really hard when you can't see the runway.
Exactly.
Right?
Well,
so, exactly.
Yeah, that always still is a challenge. The landings, I think. I love your graphics, by the way, because when things do go to heck and everything falls apart, you have a beautiful way of letting, you know, a part fly here, and I appreciate that those programmers just, you had to let them go a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the other interesting thing about these technologies, whether it's the video-based technology or, you know, one of the things aviation has been looking at for the last 10 or 15 years is how do we get a younger audience involved, right? I've got a 26-year-old son. I use him as a sounding board for a lot of stuff we do. Say, Dad, I'd never use that, or oh, yeah, that would be kind of cool, right? So if you take a look at what's attractive to an Xbox generation, you know, what's something that's familiar to them, and how do you make something like that more attractive to what they want to do?
Yeah, tell me something, Todd. Where can people find you on the field, and where can people find you online if they want more information about Redbird flight simulators?
Okay, online's very easy. www.redbirdflight.com.
Okay.
And on the field here, if you go to the four corners, the EAA, you've got they're on the main drag, right behind the Pilot Proficiency Center, and right across from where they have the trailer with some of their, they actually have some Redbird training devices in the trailer as well. But it's across from the trailer, right behind the Pilot Proficiency Center at Four Corners, and we're here all week. Order the veal.
You got it. Order the veal. Todd Willinger, CEO of Redbird Flight Simulations, thank you so much for being on Attitude Adjustment here today. Thanks.